Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
Listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And this time we are sponsored by Avalia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery. And a special offer from Krista West at Avalia. In August, if you purchase $50 or more, then she puts in a new needle minder. She has new needle minders. So $50 or more in August, purchase through their website, avalia.life. Avalia, A-V-L-E-A.life is the URL. Then you get a free needle minder. And also call your attention, Kim at Sassy Jacks carries the line of Avalia products, the cross-stitch and embroidery kits and charts. And Krista, one of the things that you'll notice about Avalia, if you spend any time there, is that her designs are meant to be used. So it's placemats, table runners, things you can put under plants, under lamps, those kinds of things. I mean, they're designed to be used. They're meant to be used. They're beautiful pieces. You can hang them on the wall all you want, but they are designed to be used. And she has a video now that she just put up that shows you how to finish them and put a lining on the back. So that's really helpful if you're looking to say, all right, I'm going to finish this, but I need to cover up the stitching on the back with something. Well, she's done a video to help you do that. And then two embroidery kits that are new. One is Pennsylvania Posy, a beautiful, beautiful little piece. And then a fun one, Octo Cafe, which is an octopus pouring coffee. It's pretty cute. So
I need an octopus to pour coffee for me. Yeah. So I can have 8 cups at once.
There you go. Yep. So that's a cute one that she did. And then you also want to check out two new cross-stitch designs, the Vanthia, which is available as, you can do it as a hanger, but available as a table runner. And it's beautiful table runner. And you can buy that as a kit, paper pattern, or PDF download. She offers most of her stuff that way. And then, I won't get this right, Despinas, D-E-S-P-I-N-A-S, Despinas Anemone, which is a cross-stitch kit, and then also a bit kit. So she offers many of her designs as a smaller kit where you might just do one of the motifs instead of a string of them. So check that all out at avalia.life. And take advantage of the free needle minder with $50 or more from Krista West at Avalia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery. Tonight, be sure and mark your calendar. Well, it's too late to mark your calendar. Just show up tonight. Really excited about doing this. We're going to have a live tour of the Remembering Recamo Italian Needlework exhibit that is now open at the Embroiderers Guild Galleries, New South Wales in Australia. And April McNee will be our guest, our host, our tour guide. She curated the exhibit. And so you'll get to see all kinds of Italian needlework. And as I mentioned 2 or 3 times in the testing with April, it's spectacular stuff, really spectacular stuff. And she has someone who is going to be with her who will be able to answer your questions about the technical aspects of stitching, the various techniques that they use. And so we'll have April and wish I had her name, but I don't. April and her colleague, we'll call it, to help us go through. So join us at 8 o'clock tonight, August 5th, on the YouTube channel, the Fiber Talk YouTube channel, and don't miss that. It is really going to be. I'm excited to have it and be able to offer it because it's an exhibit that most people would never see because you got to go to Australia to see it. So looking forward to that. And that is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. So the exhibit, the show, the live show and tour sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. And you're going to learn some things and see some stitching you probably have never seen before. So that'll be fun. Join us.
Gary, are these modern embroideries or are they old? Or?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yes. Old stuff, new stuff. The one technique... I can't come up with the name of the technique that is white work, and it's really lace-like white work. It's beautiful stuff, very dimensional. And then she
Castle
was showing.
Castle Guidi?
Say it again.
Castle Guidi?
No, it's something else. Okay. This is just one of them. And then she was showing that someone had taken that and made color, put color, used color threads, and completely changed it. Equally beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a collection of stuff, and I think it runs all the way through August. But yeah, I'm anxious to learn. I really am, because I've never had anybody from Italy to talk to, and they do different things. And, you know, especially like the white work. I mean, white work is derivations of Spain or derivations of the Netherlands. You know, I mean, all of that is through history, but it takes on its own flavor. And its own techniques in the different countries or regions. And to me, that's fascinating. So 8 o'clock tonight, April 5th, August 5th, not April, August 5th tonight. Why do I do that?
April is doing the show on August the 5th.
Thank you. That's why I did it. That's why I did it. So be sure to check that out. It'll be recorded, but to be able to ask questions and stuff, you got to show up for the live audience. So we'll do that. Then Sunday, we start the Dawn to Dusk design chart pattern. Karen Dzinski will be with us live at 2 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. So August 9, 2 o'clock Eastern time. And then we'll get that project underway. So we'll have two massive counted canvas projects going at once because, you know, boredom. So, yeah, we'll talk about Royal Garden here in a minute. And then also Sunday, the podcast Sunday will be on August 9 will be Michelle Guida, and she is a designer of wool applique. So we get to, it's a tremendous, I really enjoyed talking with her about wool applique and the needlework that goes into that and the whole design concept, really interesting. And then on the 12th, a week from today, Michelle will be with us on the live show, on the live Wednesday night show. Michelle will be with us to show us, give us demonstrations about how it's done, and how she does her designs and so on and so forth. So one kind of a 1-2 punch there. So it'll give you a good flavor of wool applique and how it works. And again, might learn something, might enjoy it, might find it to be a nice diversion from your regular stitching. So that's coming up too. So much coming up here in just the next week. And Friday's guest is yet to be determined, but the person I think is going to do it does some amazing needlework, and so that'll be fun. But I don't have that nailed down yet, so I can't say. Royal Garden. I did a video for people who are struggling with the crescent stitch, so I did a little live video. That's on the YouTube channel. And so you can go see that if you're in those early stages and doing the crescent. And we did on one of the recent shows, Beth showed how to do the waffle stitch. So that one. The next one that has come up in the discussions is the Walnetto stitch. And that one I expected because unless you do them a lot, I struggle with that one. I have to sit down and actually think about that one. So we're looking at getting a video together to show you how to do the Walnetto stitches, because I think some visual help there will be a big plus for people, especially if you've never done it.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to emphasize that none of these stitches are hard, okay?
Right.
I sat down with Gene Hilton's instruction book several years ago and just worked it out.
Yeah, now that's hard.
And, you know, I didn't have anybody to show me or anything. And it is something that requires a little manipulation of the needle, but it's not difficult.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like, well, like the waffle stitch. I think once we showed for people who were having a little battle with that, once you see it done and go around the horn once, it's like, oh, I get this. This is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chart goes to the side and you just go put them in. Yeah. So, and that's the fun thing I think about charted canvas, all these stitches anyway, is they look spectacular, but they really are not hard. I mean, I will give you the Walnetto stitch will make you sit up and pay attention. At least it does for me. But the rest of them, you know, they're just not hard.
Yeah. And even the Walnetto is, you know, you just have to know how to manipulate the needle. It's not difficult. It's certainly very doable. I've had lots of students who have successfully done Walnetto stitches. And I'll talk to Rod. We've got some new equipment coming in to see if we can get a video done of the Walnetto for Royal Garden. So you can watch it as many times as you need to, replay it, stop it, start it, do whatever.
Yes, that would be great. And that, Walnetto, I don't want to scare anybody off. For me, it's just for personally for me, I don't do them very often. And so for me, I have to pay attention to do the first one, and then it's, oh yeah, I remember now. And you just go. And it's
Once
because,
you get the first
yeah.
round done,
Right.
then just, trust that you know what you're doing and keep going.
Right. And then, all of this stuff, or if you're just interested in charted canvas work, Debbie has a video on videos on her website that are free to look at that will get you through all the basics. So.
When you go to my website, there's three big windows or three big images, and on the left is the blog video, the blog. And I've got a stitch along going with a little charted canvas project, not difficult, but I'm doing one lesson a week. It's free. All you have to do is look at it. Then the middle picture is video classes, and we have a free class called Square One. All you have to do is sign up. There is a video for every stitch in the thing, and then there's also several videos on how to mount your canvas to stretcher bars, how to strip and recombine your floss, how to open a reel of Krynek, how to use a laying tool, things like that. And the first video in that little free class is a waffle stitch. And all of those are free. And then if you sign up and it's free, the whole thing is free, then you can see the rest of them. And I do a Jessica and I do Scotch stitches and there's let's see what it's a layered cross stitch and upright cross stitch and regular cross stitch and rice stitches and all kinds of stuff.
Well, it's like I've said all along, if starting the Royal Garden, you won't lack for help. There's plenty of it, and
Absolutely.
a boatload of it at Debbie's site. And if you need help, Debbie's email's in on the chart, or write to me or Beth, and we will get you help. You will not be left hanging. So, and Kim, I mean, Sassy Jack's sponsoring the little project. Write to Kim. She's done some videos. I mean, she's got learning stitches and she's got some videos there too. There are plenty of places to see these stitches done. And once I think it's a mental orientation. Once you get mentally oriented to the stitches as a group, they all just to me start to make sense.
Well, and a lot of times it's a thing of, if you see somebody doing it, then you go, oh, okay, I got it now. I
Right.
understand how to do this.
Yep. Yeah. So it's I mean
Because,
all of
trust
that.
me, if it was hard, I wouldn't be doing it.
There's some insight into Debbie's psyche right there. Yep. And all of that on top of Debbie's instructions, which I think are just among the best, if not the best in the business. So those instructions I think guide you quite nicely through it. But yeah, some people it really helps them learn if they can see somebody actually execute the stitch. And so if that works, then there's plenty of places for it. Start at Debbie's site and go from there. You'll get it. So as soon as Debbie is able to do that Walnetto thing, we'll get a link up because some people are starting to get there and some people are back where I'm at making waffle stitches because time. But yeah. Yep. So anyway, but people seem to be having a lot of fun doing it and
Good.
really enjoying it and learning things. And of course, the fun of getting to work with all the different threads. And yeah, people seem to be enjoying it. So, but yeah, don't get frustrated. Speak up. There's help. Plenty of it.
Yes,
Do
yes.
not let yourself get frustrated. It's supposed to be fun and it will be fun. But if you get stuck, we'll help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Debbie, me, Kim, Beth, all of us will help you.
Yes.
I've been doing a lot of thinking. Boy, that was profound, wasn't it?
Yes, I'm glad that you are thinking, Gary. We need more people who think.
Because usually if you say I've been doing a lot of thinking, you immediately follow with what you were thinking about. But no, I had to pause there, like, okay, give me credit for thinking.
Beautiful. Yes, I give you credit for thinking, okay, Gary. Thinking about a wide variety of topics.
Thank you, Debbie. So then we can move on then. Okay.
Now we can move on. What have you been thinking about, Gary?
Well, the greater picture, because we were talking here before we started recording about your frustrations getting threads, getting materials in general, but getting threads. I've had more than one conversation with Gay Ann Rogers, who is just battling to get threads. All the shops, I know Kim and I have had exchanges, you know, just, I'd ship out the Royal Garden kits if I could get the thread. And there's a few people waiting on kits because Kim can't get the thread, you know, don't blame the shop. Yeah. She just simply can't get it. But all of that comes from, the supply chains have been stretched to the hilt because people cannot get personnel into work. They have to limit, you know, all those things with the virus. But the other side of that is just a tremendous upsurge in stitching. And I mean, across the board, all techniques, there has just been a tremendous increase. And you know, obviously that's good for a hobby that at any juncture could fade into the woodwork, but there's just been this incredible increase in activity and people doing it and people trying new techniques and, because they're home, they have time, you know, whatever it is. And that's part of why shops are just stretched to the limit, is they can't get materials to send out to meet the demand. But so, you know, and that's great at the moment. And it's frustrating for some, but great at the moment. But the thing that's had me thinking is, all right, then as this pandemic gets under control, and of course we pray that happens at least sometime in our foreseeable future, how do you sustain that? What do you do to make sure that momentum continues? You know, what are the kinds of things, and this is what's been going through my head, that, okay, people start going back to work, life returns to whatever is normal, but how do you keep that enthusiasm up? What do you do? And I don't, you know, it's just something I've been thinking about, and I've been thinking about it in the context of A&G and EGA. What do they do? Because that's, you know, this is a real opportunity for them to step up and play a role. And yeah, you know, I don't know. I thought it was worth talking about a little bit. Just how do we keep this going? Because you know, this is a real opportunity here.
Well, you know, I think that there is not going to be an easy answer to this. I think that a lot depends on our distributors and our supply chain to get the threads to us. Another aspect of it is designers need to be coming up with things that are engaging and intriguing and captivating that will have people who want to stitch them. And then a lot also depends on the stitchers themselves. Are they going to continue stitching? And I can have the most engaging, wonderful designs ever that's ever been created in the whole world with the most fabulous threads. And if there's nobody to actually stitch them, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that a lot of us like, and I'm going to go back to when I started stitching. I started stitching when I had very small children at home and I was very busy. But every evening after supper was my time to stitch. It was my downtime. It was my time to relax. And I really tried to preserve that little bit of time every day when I could do some stitching. And so I think if people find that the psychological benefits of doing handwork are compelling enough that they want to carve out that time and continue doing it, they will. Because you know, Gary, that we've always heard, well, I would stitch, but I don't have time.
Right. That's the mantra.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You have as much time as everybody else does.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So are you spending your time on Facebook? Are you spending your time playing games? Are you spending your time watching television? Or are you choosing to do something else with your time? And I do all of those things, okay? I do all of those things. But I try not to do one to the exclusion of anything else.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've had to put myself on a little bit of a Facebook diet here lately because anyway.
Yeah, that exactly.
I'm sure you understand why.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't watch TV in the evening just because it's in the evening. We actually are very selective in what we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several days when we don't have our television on at all.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's not because we're fabulous, wonderful people who are engaged with reading and you know, doing creative things every moment of the day. It's just, there's nothing that interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be a problem in its own right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I have a friend who has two teenage college age daughters. And he posted a picture on one of the social medias. They had purchased a trampoline, and so they were, and they're both very, they're very athletic family, all of them, all four of them. And they were out using the trampoline, and his comment was, "The kids have found the end of the internet."
Yeah.
And I thought that described it exactly because. Yeah. Yeah, you can spend an awful lot of hours, but pretty soon,
you're
just scrolling through mindlessly at stuff you've already seen elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, that's when you just say, all right, that's enough. Put this thing down and let's go do something else. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like we were watching a show on going RVing, and it was people who were buying RVs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've always camped and we've always been interested in camping, but we've never had an RV. And I don't know that we're going to go buy an RV, but we were commenting on a family that was looking for an RV to take their young kids camping. And the dad was rejecting the RVs he was seeing because they didn't have enough televisions in them.
Oh, my.
And we were thinking, no, if we're going camping, we're outside. We are not watching TV.
Right.
We are hiking. We're fishing. We're canoeing. We're kayaking. We're horseback riding. And we did all of those things when we went camping. We never had a television.
Right.
And in the evening, instead of, you know, if we needed to entertain ourselves, we played cards with each other.
Sure. Yeah.
There was no TV, you know. And so we're just like, what?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Why on earth would you buy an RV to take your family camping? And that was your intended goal.
Yep.
Was to take your family camping, and you were concerned because there wasn't a TV in the kids' bunkhouse, in the kitchen, and in the master bedroom.
Oh, my. No, no. Well, our son and daughter-in-law just did recently two long weekends, where they rented a place. And they live in Arizona. And one was up in the mountains somewhere. And then the other was in Sedona. And Kevin mentioned that the one in Sedona, they would have Wi-Fi and be closer to civilization, however you define that. But the one that was up in the mountains, when they first sent the first picture, it was absolutely in the middle of nowhere. This cabin with this big wraparound deck.
Oh,
and
yum.
Nothing but woods. And they had the dog out swimming in the streams. And we were talking to him after they'd completed both trips. And I said, Kevin, that first one, that's the one.
Yeah,
oh, he says, there was not a sound anywhere. There was no one around.
Yeah.
And for me, that's it right there. Yeah. In the evening, got nothing to do. Yeah, you do. Just sit out on the deck and watch the stars come out. You'll be fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or build a fire and just watch the flames. I mean, so anyway, getting back to the, you know, the original premise was we all have the same amount of time. It's just, what do we choose to do with our time? Well, I choose to stitch.
Yep.
And I get to stitch as much as I want to, but, you know, and there have been times when I have felt so much stress and so much anxiety and so much, and all I wanted was to sit down with my canvas and my needle and my thread and just pull the thread through the canvas a few times just to decompress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because for me, that's what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, we were talking about Avlia. There's a, on some of her designs, there's a little capital M next to them. And that's because they're designs that are good for meditative stitching. You can just sit there and just mindlessly go. And yeah.
Well, and see, and that's the thing about count and canvas work, especially, you know, if it's got a lot of the same kind of stitch in it, like a border, or, you know, you're doing a whole area that's filled with the same Scotch stitch or whatever. You don't have to look at the diagram.
Right.
Yep. You just stitch. I mean, you you can really develop a flow and an ease to it that to me is so relaxing. If I'm not having it constantly, okay, what color am I supposed to be using? And where did this one go? And nope, this whole area has to be filled up with this whole one little stitch.
Yep. Just get going.
I love it.
Just get going. Yep.
Just start.
Yep. And see, and as I mentioned, I think this is a real opportunity for the umbrella organizations, EGA and ANG in particular, to, I don't know if it's the right way to say it, but step up the game and start to find ways. And I think EGA is doing that. I'm a big fan of EGA and what they're doing. I think they have put things on the right path in terms of what they're offering, the variety that they're offering. And I think they have it headed in the right direction. And I think I'm starting to see ANG do the same thing, start to at least make some noise in that direction. Are you seeing that?
I think that the 2020 virtual seminar really opened their eyes to a lot of the potential, because I know that just me and two other teachers had enough people signed up for our classes that we would have taught on site that was more just the three of us, more than were on site for the last seminar. So
there's a message right there, huh?
Yeah, there's a real audience for it, and I really hope that ANG, the board, and the people that make those kinds of decisions are looking at that going, we need to tap into this and do more of this.
Yeah,
I don't think that a virtual seminar will ever take the place of a live in-person seminar, because there's so much more that goes on at seminar than just taking a class.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that just want to take a lot of classes. And, you know, a lot of the comments that we heard was, I didn't have to choose between these two classes. I could take both of them. And if I'd gone to seminar, I couldn't, because they were on the same day.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah, it opens doors for people like that who would go to seminar. But then I just think of the scads of people who wouldn't go, couldn't go, homebound, whatever, that now have an opportunity to at least be part of some of it.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, that's to me, that is huge.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about elderly people who can't get out of the house. I'm talking about young people too, who have kids, and there's just no way. And if they were going to go to
schedule won't allow, you know, their job schedule won't allow, they don't want to take family vacation time to do something just for themselves, which I understand. I would never have done that. And, you know, just lots of circumstances why people can't physically attend and go to seminar.
Yep. And so I hope ANG continues on that, because you're right. Going to the actual event, any live event, there are benefits beyond what the program is. There's no question. I don't think anybody would argue that. But to me, some kind of a tandem arrangement that would allow people to participate. And I believe EGA is on the right path. I hope ANG continues in that vein, because they're going to have competition. They already do have competition from shops who are quickly learning that they can have workshops and draw from a greater audience. And you know, everybody's kind of gotten over the technology hurdle.
Yes.
And so now, you know, all right, now what can we do with this? Because now we're at that phase. What can we do with this? I understand how it works. I can actually make it function without fumbling around. Now let's do something with it. And we're really starting to see a lot of shops put things together that are going to change the way they do business too. And I mean, you take, for instance, Kim at Sassy Jack's, her September soiree, she had to cancel the live event. But I think in many ways that has opened some huge doors, because now so many more people could come to an event, participate in an event that was sold out.
Yeah.
And your classes are an example. Your seminar classes getting more people signed up than were at the thing. Jeez, that's game changing. And
well, yeah, because you know I was going to teach three classes. And the limit would have been 24 in each class. And I had way more than that sign up. All of the classes had more than 24 in them.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so, you know, I don't know how other teachers did. I heard of another teacher that was going to teach one class, and she had and could have had 24 and had 150.
See, I mean, that isn't even, there's no discussion there. That's, how is that not an incredible advance?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, we need to take advantage of and not view it as just, oh, this was a one-time thing for a special circumstance.
No.
This may be our circumstance going forward. We don't know.
Right. Well, even if it's forced on us, even if it isn't forced on us, I think it should be. I think it should be a way that we do these things, because come on, 24 and you get 150. Yeah. I mean, look what you've done, not only for the instructor and that design and that 150 people, but if every instance is anywhere close to that, look what that's done for the hobby.
Yeah.
That's opened doors. That's put people stitching who probably wouldn't. And, you know, and I look at these seminars getting opened up to online, and I look at, you know, like your new designs. I mean, you're limited in how you can't even show them until a seminar, and then is it, a year after before you can do anything?
Yeah.
And so people see these designs, see people stitching them, and say, "Wait, I want that." Well, you can't get it.
Right.
But I want that, and I want to do that, and so this allows that to happen too. You can sign up. You can get Debbie's new designs, Curtie's new designs that would not be available unless you went to seminar or some event like that for some time. And you can get in on the ground floor and take advantage of those. And that, you know, there's just so many pluses that the negatives just kind of fade into the woodwork for me.
And there are a lot of advantages to doing an online class. There are disadvantages to doing an online class. So, you know, it's just like learning styles. Not every teaching style is suitable for every learner.
Right.
Like, you know, some people are visual learners. They need to read it. Some people are kinetic learners. They need to actually do it. They need to see it being done. They need to do it. Then there's auditory learners who need to hear it. And so when you're teaching a class, you try to hit all three of the learning styles so that all of the learners can find a method that will suit how they need to absorb the information.
Mm-hmm.
Online, that's, you know, it's a little bit harder.
Right. Yeah. But see, now, and then I would say, all right, post pandemic, these classes continue, get together with some friends and watch it together and learn from each other as you go. You know, there's no reason you can't do that too. And I mean, I think there's some real opportunity there to have little clubs, little gatherings. All right. How many of our friends want to do this design? Debbie's starting a class, and then we're going to get together and watch it together. And, you know, somebody has a house big enough where we can all sit around and learn that way too. And that helps overcome some of those learning needs. I just see so many pluses for this thing. I get kind of excited about it, because I think it's, I mean, I just think it's opportunity on top of opportunity here for the hobby. And,
And we also have to consider, in every hobby, you need to be attracting new people to the hobby. And in most cases, that means younger people, right?
Right. Well, yeah, obviously.
So
yes.
How are younger people accessing information? They go online. They look for a YouTube. They look for, you know, they Google something. They take an online class through Udemy or you know, one of the other learning platforms. And so we also need to be on those platforms because, you know, somebody who is interested in stitching may or may not know anything about ANG or EGA or where to look to find them or the Shining Needle Society or any of the other things. So what they're going to go to YouTube and say, is there a stitching class? Or, mm-hmm. you know, I want to learn how to do this particular thing. Is there a video on that? That's yeah. how they learn. And so we need to be there as well.
Right. Yep. Do you think that there's at least a group of stitchers who will benefit from this in that they'll be able to learn privately where they, in a group setting, they might be more uncomfortable, intimidated by more advanced stitchers, and that for them, it's a better setup, a better learning environment where they can sit at their home in private and learn and not feel like people might be watching to see if they're doing it just right. Do you think there's an advantage there, maybe that even overcomes having a teacher right in the room?
I don't know. All of my experiences with my classes, both when I was a student and as a teacher, are that we learn from the other students.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be someone who stitches faster than you do. There's always going to be someone who stitches slower than you do. If you were ever in class with me, I would be the one stitching faster than you. Because on more than one occasion, I took a class and finished the project in class.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I stitch fast. Not everybody does, but yeah. you see the person next to you and you go, oh, I haven't seen that tool. How do you use that?
Mm-hmm.
And they show you, or that's an interesting technique. Can you show me how you thread your needle? Because I have trouble threading my needle. And so, you know, there's 50 different ways to thread a needle. And, you know, just because you don't, the one that you've been using may or may not be the best one for you to use. And
right.
so, you know, you see somebody else doing that or you see somebody else laying their threads for the first time and you've never seen anybody lay threads.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's lots of different reasons why a class situation is better than doing it by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're by yourself and you don't understand the instructions, there's nobody to show you. There's nobody to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think of those people who just kind of sit in the corner and go, oh man, I don't even know if I belong in this room.
And you know what? That's the teacher's responsibility to make sure that they feel welcome and included
yeah.
and that they don't feel left out. That's the teacher's job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And successfully,
and, you know, and yeah. every class that I've ever seen, there are always other class members who are so willing and eager to help somebody who's struggling.
Yeah.
That sometimes I have to say, okay, y'all do your own thing and let me see if I can help, because they paid for the class so that I could help them.
Right,
not,
right.
And you paid for the class so that you could stitch,
right.
not so you could go teach somebody else.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens. Yeah, I'm sure it happens. All right. I'll handle the teaching. You go back to your campus. Yeah.
Yeah. I maybe in all the hundreds of students that I've taught, I've had maybe one or two that felt like they were in the wrong place and didn't belong there. And that was my job.
Yeah.
To assure them that they could do it and that I was there to help them.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, that's where, like, doing this Royal Garden where, you know, I've just felt that, and I think we got a lot of people signed up and people are figuring it out, but it's that kind of a thing. You can do these things, you know, these things that are visually impressive, you can do them. They're not insurmountable. Just a little assistance here and there if you need it, but some good directions and you can do them. And you know, you think, oh, I could never do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do all of it. Yeah, there's probably some things. Stump work might be one of those things where it's a little beyond the normal person. But you know, most of it, you can do it, and just dig in. You'll get it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, online or, stitching by yourself does afford, some privacy, and there's no distraction. That's for sure. Because there's been plenty of times I've been stitching with other people. I had to go home and take everything out because I got to talking and not paying attention to what I was doing.
Yep.
And so, you can be distracted by what other people are doing, but then, there's so many advantages to having somebody else. A lot of times what you discover is, oh, other people are struggling with the same thing I'm struggling with. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, here's a different approach to take to this that I had not considered before. So let me look at that. I mean, I learn things from my students when I'm teaching the class.
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's part of being an instructor is exactly that. Yeah. There's a two-way street. It's not just a one-way lecture. No, never is. Not in an effective classroom. We've all been in classrooms where it's a one-way street, and you just show up and get out as fast as you can because it's not effective learning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've had those.
But when the teacher is open and showing that, the teacher's learning as well. I think that. That creates more of an atmosphere of, okay, let's all learn this together,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, oh no, I will impart my wisdom to you from my lofty heights. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah. We can all name two college professors. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Sit down, shut up and write this down. You'll be better off for it.
If you have a question, you can make an appointment and talk to my lab assistant. So.
That one. But yeah, I'm too busy with my research. Okay, mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah, well, I just think this, we're just at a juncture here where it's just frustrating because our lives are just being messed up. But I think there's lining here that is really positive.
In a lot of ways, things that are happening are so far beyond our control. That if you want to feel like you're exercising some control over your life, you can control your stitching.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a part of it as well. That, oh, look, I am in charge of this. Nobody else is in charge of this. I'm in charge of this.
Yep.
And I can make it look how I want it to look. And I can stitch as fast or as slow as I want. And I can stitch with the threads and the colors that I want. And so, I think when the whole world seems to be spinning out of control and is chaotic in the extreme to where you don't know what's going to happen one day to the next, that you can control.
Yep. Just curl up in your corner and take charge.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. On a very, very much more basic thing.
Okay.
Had a listener write to me wondering what to do about... She'd purchased a piece of canvas that was folded into, she described it as a small square, a large piece of canvas. And what to do about it? Was that okay? And I had the same reaction you just had.
It is not okay.
No, it's not.
Whoever she bought it from, never buy canvas from them again.
Yep. Yeah. No, I had same reaction. Like, oh, no. Yeah, never. Never buy needlepoint canvas that's been folded. Just don't.
Right.
Just don't.
Yeah. Okay. So needlepoint canvas is stiff, and it's stiff for a reason. It's stiff so that it will support the threads and the stitches that you're going to put on it. When you try to remove a fold from the canvas, you have to relax the stiffness in the canvas, which you may or may not get back, which means it may or may not support the stitches and the threads that you're using, which is why most shops would never fold canvas. They don't fold it to send it. They send it rolled up in a tube. They don't fold it for any reason.
No.
So if there was a single crease in it, maybe it was in a roll and one side got a little bit flattened. You could dampen it and stretch it and get that crease to relax. But folded creases are never going to satisfactorily relax to the point where you can use the canvas. Because if you get it really wet to remove the folds in it, and then iron it, you've weakened the sizing that's in it. And the sizing is put in it, to my understanding, the sizing is not put in after the canvas is woven. It's put into the threads before they're woven. Which, because if they were to put the sizing in it's like a starch. If they were to put that on after the canvas was woven, then it might obscure the holes in the canvas.
No, that's and then when you're storing canvas, if you purchase canvas that has been kept in a roll like it should, if you're going to store it for a while, I'm a firm believer in wrapping it around some kind of a tube.
Yeah, like a paper towel tube or,
I use
a
PVC
gift wrap
pipe.
tube or something like that. Of course, a lot of gift wrap anymore doesn't come on a tube, but, some kind of a tube, PVC pipe,
That's what I use.
something, a something.
Because what'll happen if you don't is you'll forget and something will get piled on top of it, and then it'll get flattened, and then now you've got at least a semi crease in it. No, I wrap it around a PVC pipe, and then I put it in a plastic garbage bag, and that's how it gets stored. And then you have the gift wrap buckets you get from
Walmart.
but same kind of thing.
Do the
Something that
same kind of
prevents
thing.
it from getting collapsed.
Right.
Because you don't want those creases, because
Yeah, and if it was a little creased or folded at the edges, well, that's going to be cut away anyway. And so I don't worry about that so much. But if it's going through where the design is, I don't really see any way to get the folds or the creases out
No.
that would be satisfactory.
Yeah, see, 'cause that's just it. You can stretch it on stretcher bars, use EverTights or whatever, and you can probably make it almost disappear. And then as you stitch, you can probably visually convince yourself it's not there, but you
When you take
put
it off the bars, it's back.
it's not gone. It's not gone. And I don't think there's really any stitching that can make that go away. It's just No. No. Just don't buy it. If it's got a fold, don't buy it. Just don't buy it.
I would say that, I don't know of any shops that would sell a piece of folded canvas. But, obviously this lady bought folded canvas from a shop. I would not buy canvas from her again. You could buy other materials and things like that, but I would not buy canvas from that shop again.
So it was it came up. It's a question, to me it's just a black or
If it were
white
me,
thing,
I would return it and want and ask for a refund.
Because it really is useless.
Yeah, it really is useless. It can't really be made right. It's not like a piece of linen, because the message boards are filled with people saying, I can't get this fold out of the linen, and what can I do? And there are always suggestions. Linen does not have sizing in it.
Oh yeah, and I mean linen folded. I mean, so what? I mean, store it folded, whatever. Because that's the first thing I do with linen is have my little procedure to make it to make those all those creases go away, and they'll go away and stay away. But with
Because
canvas,
there's not sizing in it.
And you can spray a little sizing on if you want. To stiffen it up a little bit, you can do that on linen and it doesn't affect your stitching. But yeah, the kind of sizing that you need for needlepoint, that's got to be stiff, and it's got to hold up, and it's got to hold up not just one time through, but if you have to rip something out, it's still got to hold up for the second time.
And
That's
it's got to handle the manipulation that you're going to go through. And, if you remove the sizing, then the holes can get distorted. If you've got several stitches all ending in the same hole, that can get distorted, and all of a sudden you've got an eyelet and you didn't intend to have an eyelet, and so
Oh, those are beautiful eyelets. Yeah, they're not
that's
supposed
not an
to
eyelet.
Thank you, but no.
Yeah, not an island.
So there's the lesson of the day, I think. Yep. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
And, you know, it's really unfortunate. And, you know, like I said, if it were me, I would return it to the shop and ask for a refund or store credit or something else to spend on something else. But I would not buy canvas from them again.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there's your basics lesson of the day right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but.
Yeah, it's too bad. And yeah, I effectively gave the same response to the person, and yeah. I just felt bad for her because I had that same reaction. Oh no. Yeah. Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, people who are trying, and that's why I wanted to talk about it, because people who are trying Conic Canvas for the first time don't know.
Right. You don't know.
You know, it's no fault of the stitcher. You simply don't know, because especially if you come from the cross stitch world, you know, that
it's folded all the time.
Yeah, it's normal. And you think, well, what's the difference? Well, unfortunately, a huge difference. And,
yeah, there is a huge difference. Yep.
So there we have that. Advice for the day, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That'll do it.
Okay.
I think so. Tonight, we have 8 o'clock Eastern time. WeTalkFiber.com/YouTube. And it, like all things, it's best if you subscribe. Just go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, then you'll get the notifications. So 8 o'clock, April McNee is going to show us Remembering Recamo, the exhibition of Italian needlework that is at the Embroiderers Guild Galleries, New South Wales in Australia. So we're going to get a little tour there. And if it works out, they have other exhibits coming up, and we're going to try and arrange to also offer those. I think it's just a great opportunity. We talk about online things. And right. This is a way to see something you would just simply never see. Or you might see some pictures because they put up a slideshow on their website. We're going to have the curator take you through and tell you about the various pieces, and then someone who knows how to stitch them tell you how to do them. And you can't get that from a slideshow on a website. So,
yeah, and, you know, I'm looking forward to this, and I will make sure that I arrange things so that I can watch that. But I was taking a painting class one time, and the curator took us through the museum and pointed out things about some of the paintings that I could have gone and looked at them all day long and never have known any of that. And so to have a guided, you know, a docent or a curator to go through and explain why this piece is in the exhibit, what makes this piece unique, I think is a really tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I hope a lot of people take advantage of it, because I think it's, I want to do more of them. I really do. I think this is something that the online technology now allows us to do and do effectively. So hope so. So join us for that tonight. And then, of course, Sunday, we start dawn to dusk at 2 o'clock Eastern time. That's a live show. And then we have Michelle Guida with Wool Appliqué as our podcast, followed by a Wednesday show from her. So lots going on in the next week. Join us for all of it if you can. Join us live if you can, because then you get to ask your own questions. And if not, it all gets recorded. But subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you get the notifications and know what's coming up. And go to Debbie's site and learn those things. There's all kinds of stuff there. And I'm still a big fan. Get on the mailing list, because that design that you can download when you get on the mailing list is still one of my little 4x4-inch favorites. I really like that one.
Well, I've got other new designs and or free designs that are about the same size.
I like this one, though, Debbie.
Yeah. Okay.
I do. I do. All right. Thanks to Avalia for sponsoring the show. And thanks, Debbie. It was fun.
Okay. Thank you, Gary.